The Napoleonic Era, Napoleon in Exile, 1815 to 1821. Escape Plans, Part 2. The System of Correspondence. Now, according to British regulations, the French on St. Helena, including Napoleon, were required to send and receive their letters through Governor Low, who assumed the right to open them and break their seals in this exercise of control. To avoid receiving letters from his relatives, especially his mother, Napoleon instructed the Grand Marshal, General Bertrand, or Las Casas, to correspond with his family. Low would still read them and would make comments on the letters in front of his subordinates. Then when Las Casas was sent away from St. Helena by a plot originating in the governor's house. Upon arrival in Europe, he tried to mount a sympathy campaign, not only for the ailing emperor, but for his exiled companions as well. Eventually, a letter from Lady Holland arrived from London. She was the wife of the Liberal Party leader and offered to take General Bertrand's children into her own house if they wanted them to be educated in England. This letter also included sympathetic messages for Fanny Bertrand, as well as her family. Hudson Low kept this letter for 3 weeks and only passed it on to Longwood at the insistence of his wife, Lady Low. The arbitrary censorship of intimate secrets prompted Napoleon to organize a safe and private network of communications. The chosen intermediaries were all officials and passengers on ships arriving on St. Helena that were headed to the British Isles. Now, this may seem odd, but there were many in Britain that admired Napoleon's finest characteristics as a man of action and courage, and his military genius. Plus, intellectuals in London were always anxious to embarrass Lord Liverpool's government, and so joined in Napoleon's defense. The most surprising part of this covert system was not with whom or how the correspondence went out. Actually, Napoleon's associates had little trouble outwitting Low's staff and police. But what went on at the English end? We know from Bertrand, Gourgaud, and Las Casas, as well as Santini, that letters, parcels, and newspapers were being sent to St. Helena without going through the Secretary of State for the colonies, which was actually required by the British censorship law. It was only in 1818 that Governor Low discovered a cache of secret correspondence and concealed letters coming from London. The arrival of a case addressed to Dr. O'Meara excited the most curiosity. Low, who was born in Ireland, was well aware of the aggressive nature of the inhabitants of the Emerald Isle and was prepared for anything from the man who had refused to be his ally in order to devote himself to being his enemy. The captain of the Lusitania, this is in the 1800s, okay, also brought with him a letter addressed to William Fowler, an associate of Mr. Balcombe's, to whom these books were to be entrusted. Aware that he was being watched, Fowler thought it wise to hand the letter to Sir Hudson. Well, he opened it immediately and found inside a second letter addressed to James Forbes, who was unknown on the island. This was doubly sealed and began, quote, "My dear O'Meara," end of quote. Well, it was written by William Holmes and referred to the books he was sending, all of them in French. His visit to Paris on business was with Lafitte, that's Napoleon's banker, and Balcombe's share in all of this activity. He does not wish to appear active himself. He nonetheless acts in concert with me on all occasions. Then Holmes expressed anxiety about the prisoner's health. If he shortens his life by refusing to take exercise, he will only be more gratify the savage malignity of his foes. But there was no need to despair. A change for the better will sooner or later take place, and his great mind should not at this juncture forsaken him. I understand you are to draw £1,800. You shall hear the issue of my visit to Lafitte, and if your remittances are paid, trade of that kind can be carried to any extent. But the fraud didn't stop there. The case of books was eagerly searched, and they found it contained more letters. One of them from Balcombe. "My dear Barry, Holmes is working extremely hard in his exhortations in your cause, and all my friends, among the rest, Sir George Cockburn, Cockburn, Sir Pulteney Malcolm are of the same opinion on us. All communication whatever must be sent to Holmes, as I mean to leave off any agency business in England except with him. No stone will be left unturned to serve our friends on the island. I'm going to the Secretary of State's office, where I have been twice before your business. A change in administration is expected. Then there was another letter, and it was addressed to Dr. Stokey, who had replaced O'Meara as doctor to Napoleon. It was handed to General Bertrand. In it, it said the 100,000 francs lent in 1816 are paid. Likewise, the 72,000 francs, which complete the 395,000 francs mentioned in the note of March the 15th, remain quiet as to the funds placed. The farmers are good. They will pay bills for the amount of the income, which must be calculated at the rate of 4% beginning in 1816. All other letters have been delivered. Holmes. When Lowe reported this discovery to his minister, Lord Bathurst, he made no secret of his indignation at Balcombe's behavior. He had been cross-questioned before he left and had sworn he had taken part in no transactions other than those personally authorized by the governor. He had even added that he had not been entrusted with any messages and would answer also for his wife and his daughters. So this box of books, this whole set of books that was purchased by O'Meara and sent to Napoleon through his intermediaries was just full of all of this secret correspondence. You can imagine how unnerved that Governor Lowe must have been. And these are big name people. At any rate, in Lowe's view, his regulations had been gravely infringed upon, not only by this act, but by all the manuscripts that were being written on the island of St. Helena and then ended up in European publisher houses. We know that an astonishing number of books were written, at least about the St. Helena episode. Some of them were dictated by Napoleon, then read and corrected by his generals, and then secretly sent to Europe. You have the manuscript of St. Helena, which is probably done by Napoleon. You have the appeal, which is written by Santini. You have the remonstrance, which is written by Montholon. You have the observations on Lord Bathurst's speech that was unattributed. These are all published in England and then on the continent. Then later you have letters from the Cape, which is attributed to Napoleon. The letter from St. Helena, believed, attributed to Napoleon. Having these manuscripts escape Lowe's vigilance annoyed him to no end. But these publications were dangerous, not for the reasons you would think, but the public political considerations, judgments, and sometimes prophecies were not that big of a problem. It's a different matter when the letters get through dealing with Napoleon's personal condition and the possibility of having escape plans smuggle in. So you discussed, I mentioned the idea about difficulty in corresponding with Napoleon because of the censorship of Lowe. But obviously that wasn't as difficult to get around as we thought. In addition, the only issue would be timeliness. Can you get a secret letter onto the island saying something's going to happen in the right amount of time? Because if it gets lost or gets delayed, that could really screw everything up. So there is a lot of correspondence going on because Napoleon has a lot of support. And the people who meet him on the island quickly find out he's not the ogre that he's always been portrayed to be. And the issue about his health is, of course, the worse his health gets, the more pressure would be put on the government. I would mention this, that Dr. O'Meara, who was very much disliked by Lowe, accused Lowe of intimating that he should give him medication to finish him off. Not that that's been proven in any way, shape, or form, but there are comments that O'Meara has in his book and other people that he said that he would not do the governor's bidding. So next time we'll start on the actual plots to get Napoleon off the island. Now, the sources for this, Napoleon, St. Helena by Martineau, Memoirs of St. Helena by Las Casas, Cashier de St. Helena by General Bertrand, St. Helena's Who's Who by Dr. Chaplin, The Journal of St. Helena by Gourgaud, and Who's Buried Here in the Tomb of the Invalides. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.